a reading from from Ephesians chapter 2, a reading that we've seen the last couple of weeks. We see once again as we examine what it means to be changed by God's love and by the salvation he offers us. So we hear these words. Once you were dead because of your disobedience and your many sins. You used to live in sin just like the rest of the world, obeying the devil, the commander of the powers in the unseen world. He is the spirit at work in the hearts of those who refuse to obey God. All of us used to live that way, following the passionate desires and inclinations of our sinful nature. By our very nature, we were subject to God's anger just like everyone else. But God is so rich in mercy, and he loved us so much, that even though we were dead because of our sins, he gave us life when he raised Christ from the dead. It is only by God's grace that you have been saved. For he raised us from the dead along with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms because we are united with Christ Jesus. So God can point to us in all future ages as examples of the incredible wealth of his grace and kindness toward us, as shown in all he has done for us who are united with Christ Jesus. God saved you by his grace when you believed. And you can't take credit for this. It is a gift from God. Salvation is not a reward for the good things we have done, so none of us can boast about it. For we are God's masterpiece. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus so we can do the good things he planned for us long ago. This is the word of the Lord. Will you join with me in a word of prayer? Holy Lord God, we give you thanks that you bring us together today to spend our time in your word and hear these promises once again. We pray, O Lord, that you would strengthen us in our faith and trust in you, that we would know not only do you love us, not only have you saved us, but that love and salvation brings change into our lives as well. May we live changed lives as we continue, O Lord, to serve you with your Spirit working through us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, as Joel had mentioned, this is our third week in this three-week series, our final look at this passage from Ephesians chapter 2. As we're looking at these words, we're seeing a couple of weeks ago how God loved us. And it's an unconditional love. It's a love that we haven't earned. There's nothing that we have done that would make God love us. He simply loves us because he created us. We are his. And he continues to show that love for us in some pretty amazing ways. Obviously through his son Jesus, but then also as he continues to be active in our lives and our earthly journey here. We also saw last week that God has saved us. Through his son Jesus, we have forgiveness. We have atonement. We have life. Our sins have been forgiven completely. Jesus took our punishment upon himself, and we have that salvation. And now we're still waiting for it. It is to come, but we know by God's word and promise that we are saved. Our sins will not condemn us because Jesus has already atoned for them. He's paid the price for them completely. And so we know that not only does God love us, but he's also procured our salvation. Knowing that, we come to this third week where we look at how God has changed us. He's changed us by his love. He's changed us by the salvation that he offers us. And we, knowing what God has done for us, live that changed life. What does that look like? And that's what we're going to look at the rest of our time today. But as we think about change, if you think about in your own lives when change has happened, much of the time, the reason we change is because of events in our lives that have caused that change. And there are a lot of things that we could point to that might lead to change as well. We might say, well, fear, that's a factor that will bring about change in our lives. Let's see if this works. As we continue to try and transition looking at what this change is, sometimes that fear, whether it's discipline from your boss, if you've done something wrong and you know you're going to get in trouble for that, fear is going to encourage you, if you will, to not do that again. The same thing if your parents have disciplined if you're in trouble by something that you've done, that discipline, that fear of discipline, may make it possible that you make some changes so that that doesn't happen again. Sometimes as we think of what might change us, we can point to shame or embarrassment. embarrassment. We live in 21st century America, and in this time in our history, in our culture, appearance matters for so many. We think about plastic surgery that's so readily available. We think about the diet fads that are out there, and so many of them. And even as I said that, believe it or not, I kind of sucked in my stomach just a little bit. Because we find ourselves not being satisfied with our appearance. We want to make changes. And sometimes what motivates us is that shame or that embarrassment. We want something different. Sometimes exhaustion can motivate us to change as well. When you're tired of the same thing over and over and over again, you're ready for a change. I'm done with this. Time to do something different. We decide to make a change in our life. So much of those, as we think about that from that perspective, those are all kind of negative reasons for change. The things that we don't like. And because we don't like it, eventually it leads to change. That's not how God changes us, is it? We see in our text today, God's change in us comes to us not from a negative perspective, but from a positive perspective. As we look at what God has done for us, how much God has loved us, how much God has saved us, what we see is a positive change that is lasting as well. Are we listening? Are we seeing what God has done for us and utilizing that to make changes in our lives? I think we are. I think also sometimes we fail, right? We live in this imperfect world and we sin. We contribute to that imperfection. We find ourselves at times being selfish, wanting our own way. We aren't always aware of what God has done for us. But sometimes we push back because we know if I live that changed life, that means I'm going to have to do some things that I may not be comfortable with. I may have to sit in the booth in the back and click slides and play with the music. And when we're having a problem, everybody's going to look back at me. We don't like that. We don't like the idea of putting ourselves out there. We like safe. We like comfortable. And change, well, sometimes change actually is pretty hard. And sometimes we resist that change because we know it means we're going to be doing some things that are pretty hard. Things that we maybe aren't real comfortable with. But if that's the case, then I would take you back to our readings for today. The first reading from John chapter 20, Joel read that for us. We see these disciples in this room. The doors are shut. They're locked. They're hiding because of the events that had happened just a few days prior. You're familiar with the circumstances. You know the story. Jesus, the one that they were following, the one that they believed was the Messiah, and Jesus was put on a cross. He was crucified. He died on that cross. We know he died for your sins, for my sins. For the disciples, in that moment, all they knew was that their leader, the person that they were following, the person they thought was the Messiah, was dead. And he wasn't coming back. The disciples were hiding, and they were afraid of what would happen to them next. They saw Jesus on the cross. They knew that he was crucified. And usually the Jewish leaders didn't look the other way when those followers were present. And they would seek out those followers as well. And they would take those followers, and in many instances, and they would bring about their own punishment, often leading to execution for their insurrection, if you will, for their following this false Messiah. So the disciples, they were afraid, and they were hiding. They knew that life was going to change, but they didn't know how. Fortunately for them, Jesus appears to them, and this change becomes apparent to them as well. It's a change that they can live with, is what we find out. As we look at these words once again from John chapter 20, we see the disciples meeting behind these locked doors. They're afraid once again because of these Jewish leaders. But notice when Jesus appears to them, what happens? Jesus says, "Peace be with you." And it says they were filled with joy when they saw the Lord. They were filled with joy. They were filled with God's peace. They were filled with joy. And now all of a sudden, these disciples who weren't sure what was going to happen the next day, they're given hope. Now, did they know what was going to happen the next day? They still didn't. But now, because they've seen Jesus, things are different. All of those things that Jesus had told them, they came back. They realized, they recognized, okay, so Jesus is the Messiah after all. He is here for us. He offers us the forgiveness of sins. He loves us. He shows us his salvation. It's God's gift to us. And now from that moment on, for these disciples, their lives were changed. And they were ready for that change. We know what happens as they leave that place. They spend time with Jesus for the next 40 days. They find in him, once again, their hope. And in Acts chapter 2, when the Holy Spirit comes upon these disciples, they're ready. They're out in the streets, in the towns, in the villages. They're telling people about God and his love for them through Jesus. They are loved. They are saved. They're sharing with all who would listen that they're also loved and saved by God through his son, Jesus. Now remember, these disciples were locked behind closed doors because they were afraid that they were going to die. Now, they're out in the streets knowing that they very well might die, but they're good with it because they have a message of hope. They have a message of love and salvation. What changed? Well, they changed because of Jesus. When Jesus appeared to them and they realized once and for all, he has conquered death and the grave for us. He is our Savior, our Messiah. He loves us. He saves us. This is a message I can't keep to myself. And they went out and they shared. We know, according to church tradition, we see it in the scriptures as well for some, that of these disciples that remained, only one did not face martyrdom. That was John the Apostle. He was exiled to the island of Patmos. He lived his life there the rest of his life. He died there on the island. He wasn't executed. The rest of the disciples, in one way or another, they were martyred for their faith. And they were good with that. They weren't afraid. Because they knew when they would breathe their last, they would be reunited with Jesus. And Jesus, who loved them, who saved them. It was an amazing message, a powerful message, and a message that enabled them to live changed lives. And they shared that wherever they went. So we think about the power of God's love, the power of God's forgiveness, how that changes lives. We need to look no further than another one of the apostles who came along later. We're familiar with the story of Saul or Paul. How Paul was against Jesus, against the followers of Jesus in the beginning. Jesus was just a false Messiah in his mind. He was zealous for the Lord, for Yahweh. He was making sure that those followers of Jesus didn't extend this kingdom, this belief, because he didn't believe it was true. And then something happens to him as he's on the road to Damascus. He's going to Damascus with letters that he might use to persecute followers of Jesus. And on the road to Damascus, on the way there, Jesus appears to him. And we see this in verses 3 through 6. Whoops. In verses 3 through 6, as he was approaching Damascus on this mission, a light from heaven suddenly shone down around him. He fell to the ground and heard a voice saying to him, "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?" "Who are you, Lord?" Saul asked. The voice replied, "I am Jesus, the one you are persecuting. Now get up and go into the city, and you will be told what you must do." What happens next? Paul, having experienced the Lord and having been set straight, if you will, Paul realizing in that moment moment, I've made a big mistake. I've been persecuting anyone who follows Jesus. Paul recognizes what's going on here. Did Jesus need to appear to Paul on that road? Why didn't Jesus just judge him immediately and bring about his own death? That would have been just as simple. Paul has to be thinking this. Paul has to know that the reason Jesus not only appeared to him but also spared his life was so that he might live a changed life. What we read in the scriptures is that Paul, immediately after this experience, when he's in the city of Damascus, he goes and seeks out the believers there, probably the very same ones he went to persecute. But instead of persecuting, he listens, he learns, he worships. We read later in chapter 9 that it was only a matter of days, and Paul was out in the streets preaching that Jesus is the Son of God, the Messiah, the Savior of the world. Talk about change. That change came to Paul because of God's love. Because Paul knew he could have been condemned on that road, but instead God showed him forgiveness and he showed him the way of salvation. And Paul lived the rest of his life telling whoever would listen about Jesus, telling them about God's love in him, about the salvation that awaited them if they would simply trust, believe, follow Jesus as Lord and Savior. We know that Paul is also a martyr for his faith. He also loses his life, and when he does, there is joy for Paul because he knows where he's going. He's going to go and be with his Lord and be with Jesus. It's an amazing witness as we look at the people in Scripture, as we look at their willingness to go to their own death because they were loved by God and because their lives were changed. Now, that doesn't mean that we have to face death. For most of us, that won't come into the picture. Maybe for all of us, we may not face death for our faith. But we still live changed lives. We still also hear those words that were given to us by Jesus. They were given to his disciples. We are his disciples as well. We're his followers. Those words that Jesus spoke to the disciples in that locked room, peace be with you, he speaks to us as well. God's peace be with you. Know that you are loved. Know that you are saved. In that, you have every opportunity to be changed. Because we know, no matter what we're going through, no matter what happens in our lives, we have hope. One of the things that we often do as Christians today, we sit back, we hear this message, we take it in, we love to hear it, it gives us peace, it gives us joy. But what do we do with it? There are far too many in this world today that just keep it to themselves. Just say, this is a great thing God has done for me. Thank the Lord for his grace in my life. Thank you, Lord, for offering me forgiveness, for offering me life and salvation. I am so grateful. And we leave it at that. But what do we read in our reading from Ephesians chapter 2 today? Verse 10, we see these words. If it advances. Oh, I have a low battery. Okay, thanks. For we are God's masterpiece. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus so we can do the good things he planned for us long ago. It's clear. God didn't create us to receive his love, to be saved, and then to sit back and say, thanks, God. That's a part of it. But God has created us that we might do those good works that he has prepared for us. We see it. Those good things he has planned for us long ago to do. God has a plan for you. He's got a plan for me. God's plan is that as we live our lives here on this earth, we are witnesses of God's grace. That we might share with others, sometimes through our actions, sometimes through our words, but that could share with others the love of God and that they might know what it means to be changed. I've shared this story before. I'm not sure if I've shared it in here. I don't remember. But it's a story of a woman who was a member of my congregation in Nebraska before we had come up here. She was a faithful woman, a strong woman. She loved the Lord. And she came into my office one day with tears in her eyes. She said she had just been diagnosed with ALS. And she knew that her days were numbered in 2, maybe 3 years most. That was the conversation that we had had. And the other thing that she had said, she worried that her husband would not come to faith. She was worried that she would not see her husband in heaven. Because the way she lived her life, she was a follower of Jesus. She was faithful in every way. She trusted in the Lord. But for one reason or another, her husband always stayed away. He never came with her to church. Never one time did I see them in church together. Not until the day of the funeral, at least. But her prayer was that God would work through her to reach her husband. A week before she died, I was visiting her in her home. She couldn't speak at that point. The ALS had taken away her ability to speak, but she did have one of those voice modulators where you could type in the message. And when I arrived, she said, "Pastor, I've never had more peace in my life." We had her funeral the next week. Probably 6 months went by, and her husband started going to church. Now, as we had opportunities to talk, he was a very private man. But one of the things, I think, that brought him to church was the example of his wife, the witness that she had given, that even in her darkest moment, she could say, "I've never had more peace in my life." It's got to make a person think. He started going to church. He was still going when I left. I don't know what his story is at this point, but I would imagine if he's not with the Lord yet, that day is coming because of the witness his wife showed to him. So you are witnesses. God has called us to be witnesses of his love, of his salvation, of his forgiveness. Let's live that changed life. Let others see the changes in us. Let them ask us, "Why is it that you have peace?" Well, let me tell you, this is why I have peace. Because I know that when I breathe my last here on this earth, God is going to take me and reunite me with all of my loved ones in the faith. God is going to provide for me for all eternity. It's a pretty amazing thing. It's a wonderful witness to others. It's a lot better witness than saying, "If you don't change, you're going to hell." Instead, we say, "I've changed because of God's love and salvation in my life. He's got some great things for you as well." So let's be witnesses. Let's show God's love and forgiveness and let people see the change in us. And let that change be attractive so that others would come to know Jesus. Amen. We pray. Lord God and Father, we do come to you this day. We recognize that you are a God of love, that you offer us forgiveness through your Son, Jesus, that you show us not only the salvation that is ours, but then also you show us the ways in which you desire for us to be witnesses of your love. And may we not hold back. Instead, may we see those opportunities before us, and may we share with others your love and your grace. In Jesus' name we pray.